of heights to the depths of the sea.
So we're going to be reading things that are all out of joint, but again, why is it there? It's written thematically to show us that very thing, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the rightful heir to the throne, and he proves it by these things that we're reading. So the area of the scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning is the first 17 verses, and it shows us that he has power over sicknesses and disease. That's why Jehovah Rapha, that's the Jewish or the Hebrew, and it means God our healer.
Uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg.
We remember an important foundational verse from Matthew's Gospel. Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases among the people. This was in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew went on to tell us about the teaching ministry of Jesus in Matthew's chapters 5 through 7. And now he tells us more about the healing ministry of Jesus and how his works confirmed his words. Let's join Pastor Rob as he begins our study in chapter 8 in the Gospel of Matthew.
Let's open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Lord willing, we'll look at the first 17 verses this morning. Let's just read it, and then we'll dive into it. Jesus is about ready to leave this mountain. We call it the Mount of Beatitudes, this area on the western side of the Galilee. And it's elevated, it goes up, and then, of course, it goes right down into the Sea of Galilee, which is really not a sea, it's a lake. But anyway, he's shared with us the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7, and now he gets into a different part here, and we'll talk about this as we go. But notice verse 1, it says, when he, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. And when evening had come, they had brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And I think that's all we're going to get through today, because there's quite a bit here. But if you remember, Matthew's gospel shows us that Jesus is not only the Messiah, but he's the rightful king. He's the rightful heir to the throne of David. And remember, we went through chapters 1 and 2, and it really showed us Jesus' lineage from Abraham through Jesus and the circumstances surrounding, notice, his miraculous birth, because it was a miraculous birth. Those first two chapters spoke of his early life and the Old Testament prophecies that were literally fulfilled by his life and the events surrounding his birth and his young life. We got into chapters 3 and 4, and that showed us the authentication of Jesus as the Messiah through John's baptism. Jesus allowing himself to be baptized to be our forerunner, to be our example. And the Lord, who didn't need to be baptized, he submitted himself to John's baptism. And then he was tempted in the wilderness. And then his early ministry began in Galilee. And certainly, as we have seen through chapters 5 through 7, this Sermon on the Mount containing the Beatitudes, speaking of the standards, those attitudes of heart that ought to be prevalent in the life of a believer. These things that need to be there. And God, through his Spirit, does all of these things in us. And then finally, we come to chapter 8, and it continues authenticating Jesus as the Messiah, the King of the Jews, by his authority over sicknesses, over diseases, his authority over our whole being. And in addition to that, his authority over the spiritual realm, the things that are seen, which is everything we see here, but there are also invisible things all around us that we cannot see, and hallelujah that he has authority over those things as well. Right? Yeah, he does, and I'm so glad, because God has it all under control, folks, and I want to encourage you with that today, especially if you've come with a heavy heart. God is in control. He knows what he's doing. He's aware, very much aware, of what's happening, why it's happening, and ultimately the outcome of it. So we don't need to fret. We don't need to fret and worry. We just need to continue to abide in him and trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in him with all of our heart. Right? What's that proverb? We shared it yesterday. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. I am so glad for that. Because when I trust in myself, things go sideways pretty quickly. But if I trust in him, I can't be disappointed. Because then I understand that no matter what comes into my life, whether it's a positive thing that I perceive as positive, or maybe even I perceive it as negative, maybe perceive it even as something that is harmful to me, I know that God is allowing it, he's behind it, he's working wonderfully. Never forget that, folks, because we're going to be talking about Jehovah Rapha, God our healer, but you know, when everything is going well, it's easy to trust him, but it's when those times when our health goes, when we have a disease, maybe an incurable thing, there's something that has happened to us. We don't like it. We're thinking, I thought I had more time. I thought I had more time. And the Lord's going, I understand. But there's things about your life and the impact of what I'm doing that you don't understand. You don't understand how people are peering in and looking in at what's happening to you, and they're seeing how you're dealing with it in Christ. They're being strengthened and emboldened by it. They're being built up, believe it or not. And see, that's the way we have to look at things, because it's not all about me. You know, whenever I'm sick, and I'm not terminally ill, but if I was, I would feel that way. But you know, we have to understand that God has a purpose, and he's preparing me, and he's preparing you. And everyone around us is watching. And so, you know what? Regardless of whether I live or whether I perish, I want to be a light. No matter what happens, I want to continue having that torch of the gospel of Christ, his wonderful power working in and through me and you, and to never lose sight of that. Because the world doesn't have that. They don't have that assurance. They don't have that unction that we have. Because if we look at these things correctly, we will say, Lord, you're sovereign over all things, and I submit to whatever it is that you want to do, even and especially if I don't like it. If I'm not happy with it, I'm not happy with you, God, because of what you're allowing. Even in those times, we can say, Lord, though you slay me, I will trust you. Isn't that what Job said? Though you take everything away at times, and though it seems that my life is just in shambles, I know you're doing something. And folks, that's when our faith is really tested. That's when we're tried. And I hope that all of us in time, because we're all going to be faced with difficulties. Many of us are facing horrendous things right now, but as we go through them, just trust the Lord. Just trust him. So why is this necessary now that we get into this passage where Jesus has speaks of his authority over not only sickness and disease, but also over the spiritual realm? Excuse me. Why is this necessary? Well, the people of Israel, including the religious leaders of the day, they were evaluating Jesus' claims of his messiahship. If he is the Son of God, they understood that he would have to qualify with a checklist of things. If he is the Messiah, he ought to be able to have control over the weather. If he's the Messiah, he ought to be able to have control over disease and physical maladies. If he's Almighty God in the flesh, he has control over nature. And all of these things are true. And that's why these specific events are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, to show, to prove, to authoritate his claims of messiahship. He has the power to heal, and he has the power to kill. And don't assume that if you get a disease and he allows the natural process to go through and you're not healed, you know, divinely, we all want that naturally, but even when he allows us to go through the process of death, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. He loves you. But that doesn't stop your own flesh, and certainly it doesn't stop the devil from coming and saying to you, well, you know, you weren't a good Christian for 20 years of your life, therefore God is punishing you with this malady. No, you can't think like that. We mustn't default to that position. We always need to go to the Lord and certainly allow those things, when they come to you, to be a catalyst for you getting your heart right before God. That's the right thing to do. But don't assume that it's because of something you've done or something that maybe you're even doing right now, that that's the reason why this is happening to you. Folks, we don't have all the information. It's dangerous to do that, but it is good to go to him. Confess everything. You know, I get a nosebleed and I'm confessing of things I didn't even do. You know, I'm like, Lord, you got my attention. What is it? You know, this bloody nose won't stop, and I'm sitting here with these, you know, trying to get it to stop, and I'm like, you know, it doesn't take much for the Lord to turn up the heat on me, and I'm already pleading, you know, I'm just standing before the judge going, I'll confess the murder. I didn't do it, but I did it. Just heal me, Lord. Forgive me for even the thought of, you know, so I do those things, and that's all healthy and good, but don't assume. There's so many people in the body of Christ that are going through difficult things, and certainly you've got a history. Certainly you've got a past that the devil loves to bring up and say, oh, it's because you did that thing back in 1975 at Woodstock, or whenever it was, 72, 60s, whatever. 60s, yes, it was in the 60s. Don't assume that. It's unfair and it's not right. Don't assume that. And is anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, is there any sin that you've committed that's so bad that God has got to strike you? Seriously, I mean, think about it. Do you think that, remember this, folks, the judgment that you and I receive or should receive was poured out one time on the cross on Christ. The punishment for my sin was placed upon him. That's what the Bible says, does it not? So therefore, why should I walk around in condemnation when I have given my heart to Christ and I've confessed my sins, even though I've got some disease that may be taking, it's going to take my life perhaps, God loves me and he accepts me. because I've given my heart to him and I've confessed everything that I can think of to him. Now, he can heal, and maybe he will, and I hope he does, if it's his will. But again, there's circumstances around our life that we just don't get. We don't understand it. There's other people watching that don't even know Christ. How is this believer going to deal with this malady in their life while they really believe what they're saying? Why aren't they scared to death? Why aren't they crying? Why, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with crying, but why aren't they publicly crying and woe is me and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But the world is watching. How are we dealing with it? That's why these specific events are here. And unfortunately for many, even these infallible proofs, they weren't enough for the religious leaders and the Jews of the day. It wasn't enough for them to believe. If they had not been blinded by their jealousy and their hatred of Jesus, and if they just looked at the facts, they too would have come to the realization that he is and was who he says he was, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. And so these things that are written for us in the Gospels, they prove that seeing is not believing. You've heard the phrase, seeing is believing. That's not in the Bible. Seeing is not believing, but rather believing is seeing. Because all of the religious people, the Jews, they saw these things in real time. And did it change everybody? Were they like, you know, I knew you were the Messiah from the first time I saw it. Did it change their life? Were the religious leaders who were the most responsible with the oracles of God? They should have been the first ones standing in line, bowing at his feet. But they weren't. So seeing is not believing. They needed to be believing, and then their eyes would be opened. Be careful about that. Seeing is believing. Because believing is seeing. And remember, this book of Matthew is not written chronologically. It's not written chronologically. As you go through, there's events that are just shifted around, so don't try to read this. There is some chronology to it, but it is not in a strict chronology. So we're going to be reading things that are all out of joint, but again, why is it there? It's written thematically to show us that very thing, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the rightful heir to the throne, and he proves it by these things that we're reading. So the area of the scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning is the first 17 verses, and it shows us that he has power over sicknesses and disease. That's why Jehovah Rapha, that's the Jewish or the Hebrew, and it means God our healer, or the Lord who heals you. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 15. That's the first place that we're going to look at this morning. We're going to spend a few minutes on this verse. Exodus chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. And while you're going there, the children of Israel have already, the plagues of Egypt have already happened. The Passover has happened. Now the children of Israel have left Egypt. And now they get out into the wilderness. And notice verse 22 of Exodus 15. It says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah." You know, I just love the Bible, how simple it is. You know, just names. It's like, why did you call this place Marah? Well, because the water that we drink was bitter. Oh, that makes sense. I like that. Simple to the point, uncomplicated. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them, or proved them, and said, "If," notice, here's God speaking, "if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, then I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." What diseases was he talking about? The plagues. plagues, the frogs, the lice, the diseased livestock, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, and the death of the firstborn. I mean, that's a pretty nasty list. But notice in that very last line, for I am the Lord who heals you. The word heals is Rapha. And of course, Lord is Yahweh or Jehovah. And this is where we get this. And this is the first time it occurs in the Bible right here in Exodus 15. In verse 26, I am the Lord who heals you. And this word heal literally means to cure or to repair, to make whole. And I like that. I am the Lord who heals you. I am certainly able to heal you. I've been healing you all along. You might not even been noticing or even aware. I don't know if you guys know this, but do you know that cancer cells are always working against us? They're in our bodies, and they're fighting, and they're trying to take dominance out. There's a battle going on in our bodies. Does that frighten you? It does me. I'm just like, you know, right, just peace on the home front, you know? But there's a battle, and God is aware of all of this. And I'm thankful that he's fighting battles that I can't even see. He's fighting things that I don't even know are happening in me, much less the invisible realm that I can't see. All the things that I can't see, God is taking care of. Isn't that comforting to think? He's got control over me and you. He's got control over the things that we can't see. And by the way, he's even got control over the things that are happening physically. God is not, his hand is not short. I pray that we all get out of our heads this small, impotent God who can't do anything. No, he is all powerful. He can move things in an instant. He can make things happen when they shouldn't be happening. He can do things that defy science that he created. He can do things that defy the laws of gravity, which he has made. All of these things he's made. He says, I'm not limited by my own laws. If I want something to fly, it's going to fly. If I want something to happen, it's going to happen. And after all, doesn't that make sense? Because in the beginning, with a word, he spoke. I mean, think of that. The material wasn't even there yet. That's even scarier. You know, give us a scientist a lump of clay, and he can form something, and look, I made a giraffe. I created this giraffe. And the Lord's like, well, use your own material. I've given you the material. But he even spoke the material when it wasn't even there. He spoke, and it happened, and it existed. What a wonderful God we serve. Isn't he wonderful? Let's clap. Let's just give him a... He is awesome. And see, that just breaks through the ceiling, doesn't it? Now, I want to show you something here, and I don't want to over-spiritualize this because we have to be careful not to over-spiritualize Scripture. And what does that mean? It just means I look at a passage in context, and it has a meaning in its proper context, but there's also what are called types. And types in the Bible are things that are very similar to other things. And I think you'll see that this morning, what a biblical type is, if you're not familiar with it. So because God, being our healer, is the subject, really, of the message this morning, let's take a look at this as we've already read it. Look at the waters of Marah. What could that be a type of? Because they had this water.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.